My task this morning is to preach through the book of Proverbs. That's a big task. It's climbing Mount Everest. I think you're going to be thankful that I'm not going to do that. Otherwise, we'd be here for hours. And if that's what you want to do, I guess we can do that. Just let me know. But I think you'll be satisfied with what we're going to do today. But it could take us hours to go through it. So my plan is to do this. It's not to go chapter by chapter, verse by verse, but to take a few selected verses, to preach on those verses, to give you a flavor for the entire book. And Lord willing, that's what will happen, and you'll get an idea about what that book is about. The book of Proverbs is a book of wise sayings. It's general truths that if you follow, will lead to a good life, generally speaking. The one thing we need to know and understand before we ever get started in the book of Proverbs is that the book of Proverbs is not a book of promises from God to you. They're not ironclad promises. They're general truths. You need to understand that. That if you follow these truths, generally speaking, you'll have a good life. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? It's not a book of promises, but it's a book of wise, godly ways to live. Let's take a moment. If you would, let's pray together. Father, we come before you this morning confessing our sins. We have not lived up to the standard of Christ this week. We've hated our neighbors at times. We've not loved. We've been prideful at times. Maybe we've gossiped. Father, we repent. We hate it. We despise it. We repent. We ask for forgiveness in Jesus' name. And we're grateful that at the cross we have forgiveness. Thank you that the cross is bigger than our sins. Thank you that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Pray, Father, that you would bless each and every one of us this morning. That you give us what we need. We surrender our lives to you once again. And we would say in our better moments, as we want to say today, take our lives and make us more like Jesus, whatever cost. Take our lives and make us more like Jesus, whatever the cost. We pray that you would help me as your servant to deliver your word today, and that we would all be pierced, that we would all leave here changed because we were confronted once again with Jesus Christ and with your word. We pray this in Jesus' name. Want us to take a look at Proverbs chapter 1, verses 20 through 33. I'm going to need a text. I left mine at home getting all the kids. Thank you. Those of you who have children know what that's like, don't you? Sometimes you forget your head. Proverbs chapter 1, verses 20 through 33. Look at the text with me if you would. Wisdom calls aloud in the street. She raises her voice in the public squares. At the head of the noisy street, she cries out. In the gateways of the city, she makes her speech. How long will you simple ones love your simple ways? How long will mockers delight in mockery and fools hate knowledge? If you had responded to my rebuke, I would have poured out my heart to you and made my thoughts known to you. But since you rejected me when I called, and no one gave heed when I stretched out my hand, since you ignored all my advice and would not accept my rebuke, I in turn will laugh at your disaster. I will mock when calamity overtakes you. When calamity overtakes you like a storm, when disaster sweeps over you like a whirlwind, when distress and trouble overwhelm you, then you will call to me, but I will not answer. You will look for me, but will not find me. Since they hated knowledge and did not choose to fear the Lord, since they would not accept my advice and spurned my rebuke, they will eat the fruit of their ways and be filled with the fruit of their schemes. For the waywardness, the simple, will kill them. And the complacency of fools will destroy them. But whoever listens to me will live in safety and be at ease without fear of harm. Within the book of Proverbs, we have something called the personification of wisdom. A big fancy word. It just means you give personality to things that are not actually human beings or things like that. Wisdom is personified as a godly woman who shouts in the streets and in the marketplace. I'm sure we all understand that wisdom is not really a person. When you read that, you understood that wisdom here is not really a person who's shouting in the marketplace, but it's a personification. It's like evil or sin. Sometimes they're spoken of as if they have personality. For example, when God speaks to Cain in the book of Genesis, he says, sin is crouching at your door. You've got to master it. Now, if Cain had opened the door, he would not have seen a little green goblin creature. Right? Sin, drooling and stuff. It's the personification, it's the idea that sin is right there. Right? And so the same thing is true with wisdom. Wisdom is spoken of as a woman who's shouting out in the marketplace. I want us to notice something at the very start. Where is wisdom found? Is she hidden off? Is she in secret somewhere? Do we have to go find wisdom in the secret closets? Or is she right out there in the marketplace? Where people are, in the busy streets and all that. Wisdom is there. Wisdom's not hidden away. Godly wisdom, we know, is found in the Word of God. But here's the thing. Godly wisdom is open to anyone. You don't have to come to me. You know that? Some of you don't know me. I wouldn't come to you anyways. You don't have to go. Where do you go to find godly wisdom? It's there for anyone who wants it. It's right there in the Word of God. It's open. It's free. And when God's people read His Word, understand that, and gain that wisdom, where are they meant to be? Hidden away in a building? Or on the streets? Crying out the wisdom of God. In the workplace, with friends and family. That's where wisdom is meant to be. That's where godly wisdom is meant to be. In fact, that's where we are meant to be. Those who have God's wisdom. We've received that and we pass it on. But the point of the text is what? Wisdom is not hidden. It's there. It's out in the marketplace. Proverbs 1, 20 through 21. Wisdom cries aloud in the street. In the markets, she raises her voice. At the head of the noisy streets, she cries out. At the entrance of the city gates, she She speaks wisdom. She speaks, wisdom speaks, and wisdom is available. And really, not only available, but shouting. Shouting like a crazy woman. That's kind of an image I get. Some crazy lady running through the streets. But it's there. If you want godly wisdom, it's there for the taking. The question is, do you want godly wisdom? Let's also notice that wisdom speaks in this text here about three types of people. There's three kinds of people that wisdom is talking to. The first is the simple. And the simple has nothing to do with not being intelligent or being stupid or anything like that. It has nothing to do with that. It has to do with those who haven't learned and those who will not learn. The simple are those who haven't learned and those who will not learn. They don't care to learn. They like their ignorance. You ever heard someone say, well, ignorance is bliss? You heard that saying? That's a proverb. That's not a godly proverb, but it's a proverb, right? Ignorance is bliss. What you don't know won't hurt you, right, people say? Not knowing something is good because you don't have to worry about it. That's nonsense. I mean, the fact of the matter is, there's plenty of things that if you don't know about them, will hurt you. There's plenty of things out there. If you don't know about it, it will hurt you. There's all kinds of sicknesses and stuff, and if you don't go to the doctor, that can be cured, right? There's sicknesses and things that if you don't know you got it, and you don't catch it quick, it could take care of you, right? It could take you out. So it's tons of things. That kind of thing, that's nonsense. In our society, ignorance of the law, is that an excuse? Are you going to the courtroom, and you're like, listen, I'm sorry, Judge, I just didn't know that that was illegal. I didn't know you couldn't go into a store after hours and take what you wanted. Just tell you. I just thought we were supposed to see it all. It was okay. What's the judge going to say? Oh, I really didn't know. He's free. Let him go. Of course not. Right? Ignorance of the law is no excuse. And when it comes to godly wisdom, ignorance is no excuse, right? Because wisdom is there for the taking. Wisdom is out there screaming to you. To me, to the world, it's there. So ignorance of it is no excuse. It's like the child who sticks his fingers in his ear when he doesn't want to hear something, right? La, 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 la. Right? I don't want to hear that. Don't tell me about it. Do we ever do that?
Yeah.
Ever do that? Yeah. I mean, that's an adult. You ever do that? Yeah, as an adult? Yeah. Don't tell me that. I don't want to know that. I like my ignorance. That's the simple. I don't want to learn. That's the simple. The next type of person is the scoffer. This is the person who openly mocks people. They mock or they make fun of wisdom, but they also do it of people in general. How much everyone here has known someone like that? Who likes to make people feel uncomfortable? Likes to mock people? Scoff them? Whether it's their faith or whether, it doesn't matter what it is, they just like to do that. The kind of person who makes fun of people, makes them feel uncomfortable, and then they say something like, "He's only joking. You can't take a joke." Right? And if you're upset and you don't go along with it, what happens? They get this anger about them. Oh, it was only joking. You can't take a joke. Right? C.S. Lewis said, we hide our attacks with humor. You really gouge somebody and then just say, it's just joking. It's a mocker. do that? Third person wisdom speaks of is to the fool. And again, it has nothing to do with IQ or anything like that. The fool is the one who lives a life of pure natural materialism. They don't want this knowledge from God, but they just live a worldly life. We're told in Psalms 14, verse 1, it says, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They do abominable deeds. There is none who does good. So one who rejects godly wisdom and follows after the so-called wisdom of the world. There's two women, in a sense. Two women screaming, crying out. You can follow the godly wisdom, or you can follow the wisdom of the world. Well, the fool follows the worldly wisdom. Doesn't want to know anything about the godly wisdom. A lot of times, the fool is the one who thinks they're the wisest person. They're wise in their own eyes. Proverbs 1:22. How long? Can you hear this? Can you hear wisdom pleading? How long? How long? Those simple ones. Can you love being simple? How long? Scoffers delight in their scoffing, and fools hate knowledge. Like the broken heart of a mother. I kind of get that feeling when I read it. How long will you do this? The question we want to ask ourselves is, are we one of these types of people? Are you one of these types of people? Am I? These kinds of people. Are we simple, not wanting to learn? Are we mockers, enjoying the ridicule of people and especially of godly wisdom? Or are we fools, living for material possessions and all of that and just loving the wisdom of the world and not wanting the knowledge of God? What kind of person are we? Notice in verse 23 that if these people, the simple, the mocker, and the fool, if they would turn at wisdom's rebuke, what would happen? Oh, she'd pour out her spirit, she'd pour out her heart on them. That is that they would grow. They'd grow in godly wisdom. And they would want more, and they would grow in that. And wisdom would flow. They begin to learn and mature in godly ways. Wisdom says, she'll make her word known to them. Again, it means that they would start to learn to grow. In James chapter 1 and verse 5, James says this. He says, if any of you lacks wisdom, you might have asked God who gives generously to all without reproach, and it'll be given to them. That says the same thing, right? It says, if you want it, you can have it. And even if you were one of these types, you can turn. You can repent. You can get this wisdom. If you want wisdom, ask God, and He'll give it. Well, that's good news if you're the kind of person who wants wisdom. It's there for you. So we see clearly from these verses that people have a choice. They can turn and listen to wisdom, or they can turn away and reject wisdom. And you and I have a choice. And we have a choice every day, don't we? This day. Right? What does the text say? Choose ye this day who you'll follow. Right? Choose today. We don't have tomorrow. But I can choose today. I can choose today to say, Father, I want to grow in wisdom. Can you help me? I want to be wise. Maybe yesterday was a failure. Okay. Okay. Give it to the Lord. Repent and move on. Today's a new day. You got the choice. You got a choice. We all have a choice. Now we find that wisdom goes on to say that in this instance, they don't turn. They don't listen to her. They don't heed her voice of wisdom. And when the storms of life come, anybody know what a storm is? I don't mean the weather. You know what it's like to have a storm in your life? You know what that's like when it's lightning? When it's hurricane? You ever have one of those? You know what it's like to have a storm in your... When the storm comes... And listen, the storms come to everyone. We all get them. But here wisdom says, when the storms come, and these people didn't turn, when terror strikes them, and they at that point call on wisdom, in that moment, wisdom will laugh. Wisdom will mock. She'll not answer in their distress. When people are told the wise thing to do, when people are handed the gospel, when all of that happens, when they're told the things to avoid and choose not to listen, they often find themselves in terrible times of trouble. And in those times, they'll often remember the words that they were told. But it's too late in those moments. Reminds me of a show I was watching some years ago. They have these shows, America's Dumbest Criminals, things like that. I don't know if you've ever seen them. It's a strange name. But I mean, they have these kind of things. And I was watching one of the episodes, and one guy gets pulled over by the police, right? You know, they got those dash cams and all that kind of stuff and catch all that stuff on. That's why they have these videos, because they have this now, these shows. But anyways, they pull over this one guy, and I think it was just something simple, like he had a taillight out or something like that. You know, that's, they always start like that. Right? They get the guy out. It's still a little funny. So for their safety and his, they decide to handcuff him. They put him in the back of the cruiser. And so you can't see the guy. All you can see is the car, and the cops are searching it, right? But you can hear the guy in the car. And when they get to the trunk, they start opening up the trunk, and they're pulling stuff out, and all you can hear him say is, no, no, no! They found it. It was drugs or something like that, but in that moment, he knew what he was doing was wrong, right? There was wisdom that was given to him. You probably shouldn't go and transport drugs. It's a bad thing to say. Okay? He decided he was going to do it anyways. And when he got caught, in that moment, wisdom, in a sense, was mocking. He was laughing, right? There's another one of these videos I saw, and the guy gets pulled over for drunk driving. And they put him in front of the cruiser, the hood. They put him there, and they're handcuffing him, and they're telling him that he's going to jail now. And you can see the guy, and he starts screaming out, and he says, save me, Jesus! Jesus, save me! If you get me out of this, I'll follow you! Right, and Jesus came, and he was rescued. Right, in that moment, right? But the man had known something about Jesus. Somebody told him about Jesus, right? But what did he choose to do? He spurned that wisdom, right? And in that moment, when he was crying out to wisdom, when he was crying out to Christ, it's too late. Now, it's too late in that moment. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying it's too late for that man. But in that moment, it's too late for some miraculous sign of Jesus to come down from heaven and to make him not, intoxicated and take him away. But in that moment, and that's what wisdom is saying here. In those moments, when the storms come, whatever they are, and often they're self-inflicted, in those moments, when you didn't listen to me, she says, I'll mock in those moments. chance. You had an opportunity, but you didn't listen. Proverbs 1, 27 through 32, when terror strikes you like a storm, and when your calamity comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you, then they will call upon me, and I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, and will not find me, because they hated knowledge and did not choose. You hear the word choose? Did not choose the fear of the Lord. Would have none of my counsel and despise all my reproof. Therefore, they shall eat the fruit of their way and have their fill of their own devices. For the simple are killed by their turning away. The complacency of fools destroys them. It's a choice. That's a harsh warning. And I bet we don't like that. That's a harsh warning. We don't really like that idea that in the moment of distress, we cry out to wisdom and she won't be there for us. We don't really like that kind of idea. But there it is. That's a harsh warning, but even there, you know what I love about Scripture? David says in one of his psalms, he writes this psalm and he's asking God, where are you? I'm downtrodden. My enemies are all over the place. I feel like I'm at the door of death. I'm going to go down in flames. It's going down, Lord. And then at the very end of that psalm, he says, yet I'll trust in the Lord. Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, right? Lamentations, book written by him, right? You ever read Lamentations? Woo! You want to talk about suffering. In the midst of everything, at one point in there, he talks about, I feel like my face is being ground into the dirt. Like I'm chewing on rocks. I don't think you hear me, he says to God. I feel like, you ever feel that way? You feel like, what's that saying? Your prayers never get above the ceiling, right? They don't go anywhere. You ever feel that way? Jeremiah felt that way. A great prophet of God felt that way in the midst of his struggles and everything. But you know what? In the midst of all that, he goes through all this thing, but then there's a but section. He says, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies, they will come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. That sound familiar?
Yeah.
Ever sing a song? And yet we sing that song like, it's all, right? And typically it's like, you know, wow, that's awesome. But it was in the midst of his sorrow and pain. But I love the buts that are in the scriptures, those turning points. And even here, we've got this moment of hope, right? There's a moment of hope. If you read... That's really what I'm talking about. There's going to be this moment of hope here, even at the very end where there's this warning there that in that, you know, I'm going to mock you and all that, but there's a turning point. If you read the book of Ezekiel is pretty much a downer. Okay? It's one of those books where destruction is coming to the nation. It's all over the place. It's just a big storm. Bad things are coming because you've fallen away. But every so often, there's this glimpse of hope in there. But there's going to be one to come. But there's this. You get the point that all throughout the scriptures, there's always, well, not always, but we'll come across these points of desperation, of despair, and yet there's a point of turning to say, even in the midst of all this, there is hope. And here in Proverbs 1:31, there's this positive note that it ends on, and it says, but whoever listens to me will dwell secure and will be at ease without dread of disaster. So even at the end, there's this point to say, but if you do listen, you'll dwell secure. Those who listen to godly wisdom will dwell secure. No falling into destruction and chaos. Does that mean you're never going to see hardships? No. that mean you're never going to feel like Jeremiah felt? That's what this is saying. Jeremiah was a bad guy, right? That's not saying that. What is it saying? It's saying that you will dwell secure. Remember, Proverbs is about general day-to-day life. And what it's trying to say is this. If you follow me, if you follow these wise sayings here, if you follow woman wisdom, if you follow her, very unlikely you're going to jail for murder. As you will be murdering. Very unlikely you're going to go to jail for drugs, because you're not going to be doing drugs or selling drugs, right? So you're going to dwell secure. You'll dwell secure in those kind of situations. I don't know if this will come to a, as a surprise to you or not. Might shock you. I was not always a Christian. Wasn't born one. I did a lot of bad things growing up. Things that I'm not proud of. Things that I would love to go back and change. Am I the only one? I loved wicked ways. And again, I'm not proud of it. I repent of those things, but we need to learn from the experience of others. We need to hear wisdom. There were a lot of things that my parents told me, that friends told me, that I didn't listen to. And I suffered. Children, many of them are not here, but the children need to learn from those who've come before them. Why? So they don't make the same mistakes, right? We need to be dishing out that wisdom. We need to listen to parents. Because they don't want us to go through the same things over and over again. That's why the church is led by elders. Elders. Older men. Right? Gray hairs. The ones who have life experience. Well, they should, right? They should have life experience. You can be an old person and not have wisdom. But the church is meant to be run by the elders, those who have gone before, who have experience. Why? So they can impart wisdom, godly wisdom, right? As well as practical wisdom from life. I've been down those roads. Don't go. You know, it's a dead end. It's a bad road to go down. I find it funny when you hear about elders who are 30 years old. What kind of life experience have you had? I'm older than you are. Even more funny is the Mormons, who, and I'm not going to bash Mormons, but they have their elders at like 19, 20, 21. What are you going to teach me? What wise things have you got? You know what I mean? So wisdom is there. The church is meant to be run by the elders who have that wisdom. They can pass along godly wisdom to the rest of us, and we can do the same and go out and pass along that wisdom. But I remember when there was a time, speaking about the idea of dwelling secure and safe, I remember when there was a time when I was picked up by the police. I hadn't done anything. And I was a punk. And I was walking in the footsteps of the wicked. But this thing I didn't do, right? I hadn't done it. Now, I probably shouldn't have been there anyways. But I think it was stealing something or whatever. But they picked me up. And I got to tell you, I was pretty calm. So I hadn't done anything. You know, I was thinking, man, I didn't do anything. And they picked me up, and they brought me to this eyewitness, and sure enough, the eyewitness said, nope, that was the wrong guy. So there was security there, even in a practical sense, and in an everyday sense, when we look at this idea of wisdom. If you don't follow these paths, if you don't do these things, you can dwell secure. Now, again, Proverbs is a book of practical wisdom, godly wisdom, but it's not promises. Are there people who get accused of things who didn't do it and yet go to prison or whatever? Of course there are. But generally speaking, if you don't do these things, you will dwell secure. And ultimately, as a Christian, we dwell secure regardless. We dwell secure if we're shackled or not. Yeah? Yeah. Amen? No? Yeah. We're worried about that. I don't know that I want to be shackled. We dwell secure regardless when we're in Christ. What can they do to us? We dwell with the one who raises the dead. We dwell secure. And again, I understand that we live in a sin-sick world, and sometimes godly people suffer for things that they didn't do. Proverbs, again, is that general idea, general discussion of how things generally work. I don't sell drugs, I'm not going to jail for a drug dealer. Jesus said, there's two builders. One builder goes out and he builds his house on the sand. It's beautiful. Looks good. Who doesn't want to live on the beach? I mean, there's tons of houses on the beach. This guy says, this is prime real estate. Looks beautiful. Man, reminds me of something more. Ooh, it's nice. Looks good. It's great. He starts building. He builds it there. The other builder says, I think I'm going to build my house over here on this rock. And he builds. And so they both build their houses. And Jesus says, well, the storms only come to the guy who built his house on the sand. Right? Watch out, preachers do that sometimes. That can be tricky. I don't know that in the Bible. No, the storms come to both. But what's the issue? The issue is, what have you built your life on? And you follow godly wisdom, right? Because in that passage, Jesus says that the person who is the wise builder is the one who hears my words and puts them into practice, follows them, right? That's the wise builder. So we've got choices. What kind of builder are we? Are we building our lives on Christ? Are we building our lives on the things of the world, the things that look good, this worldly wisdom or whatever? The same thing is found in the book of Proverbs. Same idea. We're building. We're following two different women. Where are we going to be secure? The man who builds his house on the rock, Jesus Christ, who puts these wise sayings into practice, who lives this godly lifestyle as best they can, is secure. Not because the storms don't come, but because there's a foundation. The other one swept away. Because there is no foundation. What's the application for us? We need to listen to godly wisdom. We need to listen to godly wisdom and we need to follow it. We need to be learners when it comes to wisdom. And give that godly wisdom to others, especially our children, our grandchildren, the people around us. But we mustn't simply be those who speak wise things. We've got to be people who live it. Do what I say, not what I do. That's a worldly proverb today, but no. What do the kids tend to do? They need a day to follow your example. So we've got to be people who not only have the knowledge, we need to walk it. We need to live it, and we need to pass it on to those around us. And you need to pass it on to those here as well. And you need to pass it on to those in the marketplace. You need to live those truths out. Psalm 119, 103 through 106 says, how sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through your precepts, I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. Your way, your word, is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I have sworn an oath and confirmed it to keep your righteous rules. You ever been camping? You ever have to get up in the middle of the night for some reason? Like you had maybe too much to drink earlier and you went to bed and now you have to get up? You can get out, it'd be pretty dark. I mean, I've gone camping, it's been pitch black. And if you don't have a light, you might get hurt pretty bad or not find where you're supposed to be going. But if you've got that light, what does it do? That's not a big spotlight, right? It doesn't illuminate the sky and everything around you. What does it illuminate? Your path. You might not know what's a few steps forward, but you can see what's here, right? The Word of God is a light to our steps. But we don't know what tomorrow holds. We know who holds tomorrow. We know who holds our hand. His Word is a light to our path. Wisdom, godly wisdom, if we'll embrace it, will light our path. We'll be there. We won't stumble. We won't fall. Let's continue to seek godly wisdom by reading the Word of God and following it. Let me quote to you a passage from James, and then we'll close in prayer. James 1, 22 to 25 says this, "But be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing." God bless you as you continue to follow God's godly wisdom. And not only that, but you give it to others. Give it to others. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word. Pray that we would grow in our love for your word more and more each day. Pray that we would grow in our love of doing your word more and more each day. Thank you that it is that light for us. We pray, Father, that you would help us not to be like those three types of people we read in the scriptures. We wouldn't be the symbol, that we wouldn't be the fool or the mocker, but that we would embrace your word, that we would embrace these godly ways of living, and that we would strive to follow Jesus Christ each and every day. Help us to choose and to choose wisely. Forgive us when we fail. Encourage us and pick us up. And bless us as we continue this journey. Pray, Father, that we are encouraged in some way today. We pray all this in Jesus Christ's holy and precious name.